So I'm the CEO. I sign up for your 12-month seminar, and I have workbooks for all my people here.
That's correct. We send them to you on a month-to-month basis through a PDF file format. We send it to you a PDF file format, and if it's tomorrow, we'll send it to you electronically. We set it up at 10 o'clock, and then we'll set up on a telephone line. It costs us about $50 an hour for up to 200 people, and then we will actively coach them for the month, and we're done. And we get a contract signed for your 12 teleseminars. We call that a 12-pack, where they sign up, and to be honest with you, about 80% of our clients prepay anyway, so you can get the whole engagement date up front.
That's awesome. What do you find the best time to put these on, or do you leave it up to them?
You leave it up to the client, but generally during the business hours.
When you sign up coaches to market this, do they get to customize that PDF? I mean, your coaches, are they creating their own coaching names, like private labeling your stuff?
Well, they're private labeled. They're linked to us by a methodology. All my coaches are value-forward CEO coaches, so they're all linked by the methodology, but they themselves are independently owned businesses. We have a four-day certification school where we take them through our questionnaires, our assessments, our guidelines, our client scorecards. We go through best practices in all these areas, marketing, sales, strategy. We give them access to our proprietary databases so they can do best practices analysis. We have a complete marketing program. We actually give them a website template with all the content with client white papers. Over and above that, we give them a newsletter template. I actually published the world's largest sales, marketing, and strategy newsletter. It's called BDM News. And it goes to 165,000 people in 122 countries. So we actually give my coaches all the newsletter articles and a newsletter template so they can create their own newsletter using my articles and their name and picture on it.
Give the listeners your URL. What's the best URL for them to go learn more in your newsletter? Where do they go?
Go to valueforward.com. valueforward.com. Valueforward.com.
Tell me about the name Value Forward. Why did you choose that?
Most people today market and sell by pulling their value behind them, and we teach them strategically how to put their business value in front of you. And most people talk about how good they are, how great we are. You go to clients, you work with CEOs, and you talk about that they're customer-centric, we're the best in the market, we're committed to making our clients happy. That's all company baloney. Everybody says that. Your competition doesn't walk in and say, hey, I have bad service and bad support. So at the end of the day, to get prospects to take action steps to buy, both from a consultant selling or CEO coach selling the CEO, or simultaneously getting a client to raise their revenues, you need to learn how to put your business value in front of you, specifically teaching them very specific action steps that we've copyrighted on how to make your company value three-dimensional.
All right, let's say that I'm one of your coaches, I'm putting on these teleseminars, and I send out the workbooks. Does it have your corporate name on there? How do I know that I've established this client and then my clients are going to see your company name? Is that going to lead them back to you?
No. All my coaches, private label, everything except the content has copyright protection on it. So it's, say, ABC CEO Advisors. They would send out my workbook with their name on it, their telephone number, their contact number, and then simultaneously at the bottom would say copyright of the Value Forward Group. But outside of that, there's nothing else.
Have there been occasions where your consultants have been working with clients and they call you?
Sure, and I just automatically kick them back. They will call me and say, hey, your office, your company is the guru. We say it. We appreciate that. But the way we work with our coaches, we actually work with them in tandem advising their clients about behind the scenes. So we would say, listen, go back and work with a client actively because he started the relationship with you and you'll be working with us anyways, but we're just behind the scenes. Because when my coaches go out and do a strategic analysis of the company's areas of marketing and sales and strategy and finance, and they take our proprietary databases and our questionnaires and assessments, when they're trying to analyze specifically the client's issues and problems, they'll contact our offices and then we'll help them go through the analysis if they have any questions. We'll even help them write their recommendations and the proposals.
Okay, so in your office, what kind of support staff do you have for your coaches?
Four people who are primary, and we have about six who are part-time who support all of the operations that we have.
Okay, so out of your eight levels of products and services you're selling, how many coaches do you have out there?
28 today.
Do you know what they're selling?
I do. I don't know all of them because, you know, I'm under a license. They don't have to tell me anything other than keeping the IP.
Yeah, what do you find? Do you find they share that with you or some just take?
Yeah, there are some characteristics of my top coaches. The top coaches bring us in more than less, and they let us know what they're doing. So I'll give you some examples of what my coaches do. The coach out of Ireland who just signed an agreement for $180,000 a year coaching a CEO of a $5 million company, and he has to go to their site 2 days a month. $180,000 a year. He bills them $15,000 a month, and it's 2 days a month at the client site plus expenses, and he gets paid $180,000 a year. I have another person who will net $400,000 their first year
Tell me about that.
That person is a new salesperson, came into the program. He started part-time. I had some questions. Well, you know, I'm a sales VP. Can I be a CEO coach? Yes. You learn the methods and the tactics, and you have confidence and presentation capabilities. So he started part-time and worked about 6 months at his current job. He started full-time in our program, and then after about 6 months of part-time, he quit and went full-time. He started September 1st of last year. He's coming up on his annual. He actually bought his second location as a coach with us within the first 7 months. In fact, and I think in the month of February, he had a $100,000 month, by the way, with no employees.
Couple things I want to ask, and I don't want to forget, but out of these eight packages, what's selling good?
Everything sells good. See, we use a different model. Most coaches use an incorrect model to generate revenue. We use a leverage model of revenue collection. So we offer all eight. See, the way our coach programs work is you as a business coach, CEO coach, may actually work with 8 to 10 clients all at the same time. You might be doing 1 hour coaching on the phone in the morning with one company. You might be doing a 2 hour teleseminar in the afternoon with another company, and tomorrow you might be at the client site. So we mix and match to have a very, very high revenue per month, because different programs have different hours and time management allocations. So we actually always pitch our 90-day program, and then from that, we look for long-term retainer relationships.
All right, tell me about the 90-day program. How does that work?
That's the program I was discussing before, where we go in and analyze their entire business, and then we give them 3 to 4 days on-premises coaching over a 6-week period, and we give them 90 days of support.
And that's it, after 90 days?
Yeah, but once we're done, we're looking for a retainer contract.
Okay, tell me about that.
Well, I'll give you an example. I have a client of my own, small company, maybe $5 million, $6 million. Client is out of the Midwest. Client called me. The CEO had passed away. Father took over the business. He contacted me on the phone and asked me to come in and work with him. So I sold him a 3-day on-premises consulting engagement with 90 days of telephone question follow-up for $25,000 plus expenses. He paid me over $8,000 per day. The 3 days are spread over about 5 or 6 weeks, and we have action steps that are happening in between each of those days. So one of the keys of always being a good coach, by the way, is being like a good school teacher, get lots of homework. So with working with the CEO, help him increase his total company success. So between the second and third day, which was about the 5th week into the engagement, he came back to me and said, wow, this is great material. I've never been exposed to this before. I've had many consultants and coaches in here before. Your approach is very unusual. I can see why you copyrighted. So at the end of the day, I want to work with you for the next year. Can you give me an annual contract? So I put him on an annual contract. I charged him $48,000 for 1 year for 1 day per quarter at his office.
1 day, so that's just 4 days?
Right, and he has the ability to call and send me questions and emails. Now, here's the secret when you're coaching CEOs. They don't waste their time, so they won't waste your time. They're not going to get on the phone and talk 5 hours. Now, you get a department manager, they'll waste your time. But CEOs are calling you from their car, from their boat, from their vacation home, from the business they're buying, you know, from the airport. They're very specific, get to the point. Paul, I have a question. What do you think? Boom, 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 okay. So this person calls me once every 2 or 3 weeks. I get 1 email a week, and I go to his office 1 day per quarter, and he paid me $48,000, and he prepaid it up front. So he paid me $48,000 for 4 days. For 3 days, he paid me $25,000. So he paid me over $70,000 for 7 days. We offered him a 5% discount on cash, and he prepaid it up front.
So how do your coaches prepare for that full day? I mean, you know, they're paying a lot of money, and they better be productive. How do they prepare for that?
We have an outline for each coach of what actions they have to go through. We have a PowerPoint that they use to walk through each person for each of those consulting days that they spend at the client site. We have a workbook that they give the client that walks them through it. We've done our due diligence with the analysis tools that we have, our proprietary databases where you can plug in and get a lot of information out. We walk in, and they just follow the guidelines that we teach them. Use the PowerPoint. Again, now we're not in a sales situation. We're actually going through an educational process of doing discovery or recommendations to them. So they put a PowerPoint up on the wall, and the client has a workbook, and they follow it by the rule.
Are they in front of the managers, too?
Generally, at this point, they're in front of the managers. The CEO has brought in, or the present owner has brought in other managers in the room. But at that point, you know, you don't have to have lower-level managers love you. You're working for the CEO. I mean, CEO will come over to you and say, hey, Paul, what do you think of my VP? Should I keep him? Should I fire him? Hey, what do you think of Susie as the marketing manager? Does she know what she's doing? And I tell them the truth. No, she doesn't have a clue. Now, I ask this question, because this is pretty common. Is anybody in your company related to you? That's a big question you should always ask privately held companies. Because they may not fire their daughter, who's the dodo head running the marketing department, because they need to keep her employed. You always ask that question up front. Say, John, I'm just curious. Is there anybody in your company I should be aware of who's married to you by family or who's part of your family, directly or indirectly? And they'll tell you.
So your coaches, I mean, they got to have some guts. They got to have a little bit of confidence. I mean, who is your program for and who is it not for?
We have a minimum criteria to be in our coaching program. We look for people with 10 years of business experience who've been in marketing, sales, or corporate management, or somebody who's owned a business or multiple businesses, and somebody who has a college degree. And the reason for that is if you come in and you own 3 or 4 businesses, okay, but if you're like a sales guy with a couple years of experience, you're going to have some confidence. And we teach this, but it brings to the table based on experience. So you're going to sit in the room, you know, with a CEO of a $5 or $10 or $50 million company and tell them they're doing it wrong. And you have to have the confidence to do it. Now, we have all the facts and the figures and, you know, all those types of things to confirm all this information. But it's still the reason people will hire you is because you're going to help them, not because they're going to like you. In fact, let me go back to that $80 million company. I never told you the final part of the story. So this person, I was talking to him on the phone, and I said, I don't know if we're a good fit. I said, maybe we shouldn't work together. You know, at this point, I don't think it's a good fit. I really appreciate the time. Thank you very much. And I said, I have to go. I hung up the phone. 5 minutes later, I get a phone call from the VP of sales who invited me. He says, I can't believe you talked to my CEO that way. Nobody ever talked to him that way. He needed it, but I can't believe you said that. He says, we're going into a meeting to talk about you right now. I'll let you know. Me back an hour later and says, my CEO wants to go with you. He said he never had anybody talk to him that way, and you know what? He needs it because we're not doing good. And I told the VP of sales, I needed to think about it for a day. I'll get back to him. And the reason was, you have to look like you don't need the business to get the business. When you look desperate, that's when people start bleeding on the rug, discounting the deal, and look like they're desperate, and you have to look like you don't need it.
You're listening to an exclusive interview found on Michael Senoff's hardtofindseminars.com. What do you say when someone tries to discount?
I just say we don't discount. I appreciate that, but we don't do it.
But we could offer you this package, which is as, and you go to a lower package.
Go to a lower package price. I say, you know, if that's not your good fit, there are 3 variables that we look at to maximize revenue as a CEO coach. One I mentioned before was leverage, which is we're going to work one-to-many, not one-to-one. You know, the mistake most people make in coaching is here's what happens, or consulting. They get one client on a retainer for a year. They're making pretty good money. You know, they make $200,000 or $300,000 working out of the house. They kid themselves, and they think they're doing really well. The problem is they go to the same client 3 or 4 days a week. They sit in an office, and they're really like a job. It's like being an employee. You sit around bureaucracy, and you're surrounded by, you know, politics. And, you know, after a year, you have to get that client to either renew or you have to go out and replace that revenue, which might be 80% of your total consulting engagement. So we don't do that. So what we do is short, high-value engagements up front, and then we back ourselves into a high-value long-term engagement. So that's the first thing we focus in on is leverage. The second thing we look at is lifetime value. Because we have so many programs, we can keep going back to the well, keep selling the client more and more different programs based on different price points. I'll give you an example. I have a client in North Carolina. It's about, probably $1 million. And, I mean, that's about the smallest we get. The client called me on the phone and said, I'd like to work with you, told him our programs. We went out and met with him. He had a heart attack when I told him the price point was $35,000 for 3 days. So he said to me, well, you know, that's just not my budget, but I would like to work with you. So I moved him into long-distance coaching, and I charged him $4,000 a month for 3 months, both monthly to a credit card, prepaid every month. They don't have to send an invoice for 1 hour a week on the phone and unlimited email questions. So he paid me $12,000 over 3 months. Between the second and third month, he came back and said, you know, I have my own little network and channel partner program. I'd like you to come in and do a presentation for our people at the meeting. He said, can you come in and do one day and do a presentation of your materials and some of the things you're doing with me by phone? I said, yes, that would be $7,500 plus expenses. And he, again, said, well, I forgot. That's way too much money. Can you come in for half a day? And I said, okay, that's $5,000. And he said, wait a minute, $5,000 is enough. That's $7,500. And I said, no, it's not. But, you know, I have to get prepared. I have to travel. He said, all right, come on in. So he paid me $5,000 to come in for 4 hours. Now, because he had a lot of things going on in this channel partner program, he actually cut back my hours from 4 hours to 2 hours. So I put out a presentation to about 50 managers, presidents of companies who were part of his channel partner program. It was a technology company. And for 2 hours, paid me $5,000 plus expenses. I get hired out of the audience by 3 of the actual CEOs, who ultimately generated about $75,000 for me. So here I have a $1 million company who generated 4,000 times 3, 12,000, then paid me 5, that's 17,000. I picked up another 70,000 plus in about 3 months of my working with them indirectly through the people who were sourced through him. So I generated over $80,000 from a company that did only $1 million. So you really focus on lifetime value.
Right, you never know where your business is going to come from.
Don't underestimate the potential. And when somebody tells you they don't have money, remember, we don't really believe that when a CEO tells you. Sometimes it's a true sales objection, sometimes it's a false. Sometimes they're thinking in their mind, you know, I can afford the $25K, but the fact of the matter is I don't know them, I don't trust them well enough, I don't trust any consultants or coaches. I'm going to go with a $15K program, and at that point, when he really proves to me he can do what he says he can do, I'll go with a $100,000 program. So don't let them make that decision. You know, sometimes what's interesting in a down economy like ours, you're going to find that coaching and consulting business goes up because the person who's going to buy a Maserati last year, company owner, and going to put 22-inch wheels on it with spinners, and he's going to spend $400,000, figures out this year I better invest money into my company. So what you're going to find is that in a down economy, consulting and CEO coaching usually goes up if you're doing it correctly.
Now, I've got my HMA consultant selling project work, and I've got some consultants maybe who are just starting and they don't have much experience and their confidence level is at charging $500 per project. But I've got other consultants who are charging $6,000 for the same project. So what can you tell the consultants who are on the lower end and how does confidence play into that?
Well, let's talk about that. First mistake anybody makes is charging by the hour. Never charge by hour, charge by the value. It took me 25 years to figure out where I am today and have all my coaches worldwide doing what I'm doing.
Why? What mistakes were you making?
When I first started, I started charging. First thing I did is I actually charged a couple times by the hour. And, you know, I figured it took me 25 years to give them the right advice that I knew in 1 hour I shouldn't charge by the hour. So I stopped charging by the hour. So I started charging by the package and by the approach. So what I do is I always package everything into a itemized sort of man-hour allocation program that I know totally how many hours I'm going to spend with that client before I go forward. And then I just make up a price which I think I can sell it at. So when I started 8 years ago, my 30-day program was 1 day on premises, 30 days of support, and I charged $3,000 for that program. I thought that was a lot of money. You know what? I made a big mistake. I used to lose deals because people make decisions that my price point was too low. So you have to realize that sometimes people are making judgment calls based on the price of what you sell. And so if your price is too low, relevant to what they think, what you say the value is, they're going to think that the actual way or the mechanisms you use to produce that value are not sufficient to warrant the price. So price must equal value. And so I started raising my price and getting more engagements.
My consultants may be promising we'll grow your business 20 to 50% in the next 90 days without spending money on advertising, and it's only $10,000. There may be a disconnect. They may say, well, that doesn't make sense.
It makes sense. You don't know what you're doing. Maybe $50,000 or $30,000 or $20,000, exactly.
That's a good point.
It's a confidence issue, but it's also relevant. There's a concept that we teach in our business model. It's called sales proportionality. And sales proportionality says the value of what you sell must be proportionate to the value of the business title you sell to. So if I'm trying to sell a CEO of a $10 million company something for 10 grand, I already made my first mistake because 10 grand is too low proportionally to the value of the CEO of a $10 million company. They deal with things that cost $50,000 to $100,000. Lower level managers deal with things that cost $10,000.
Take me back. Let's say you've closed your deal. They've agreed to a proposal, but you haven't collected the money. Okay, you set the appointment. You did the five-minute presentation. You did all the questions to show them they don't really know what they're talking about. You've closed, and they've agreed that they can handle the price. What do you say right from when you leave to your next contact?
I say, when would you like to start? I do a something close based on dates. And they say, Paul, I'd like to start as soon as possible. And I said, okay, what I'd like to do is get the paperwork to you and let's move ahead. I always tell them, by the way, our payment terms. Our payment terms are 50% down for everybody, including global 100 companies. In fact, I've worked with very large companies. I've worked with IBM and Microsoft and Tyco and AT&T, and management teams will say, well, here, just work with my accounting department. And you get to the accounting department, and then you have some young lady who's a cog in the machine who says, you know what, we're a big company. We don't pay anybody under 90 days. So we get back on the phone, we say, listen, we're working with this vice president of your big company. We're not coming out unless you pay 50% down. So I will call them and just tell them I'm not coming out. And then they all get excited, and they wait a week or two, and they call back and say, all right, we're going to pay you 50% down. So first of all, we charge everybody 50% down. We don't do anything until a contract's signed, and we don't do anything until the money is received. The first thing you say is, when do you want to start? Then we say, well, let's get the paperwork going. And as we discussed before, it would be $25,000. Our terms are 50% down, and the balance due 10 days after our first on-site, and the written recommendations are given. You actually cash out the entire engagement fees, accounting the expenses, before the engagement is finished.
And everyone's okay with that because you're the boss, right?
Well, everybody's okay with that because the key is the written recommendation. So about 90% of all our clients go with that.
What do you mean the key is the written recommendation?
See, once we start coaching a client, we submit in writing specific written recommendations.
I see. That's your technology. So you give them the criteria, the payment terms, and then you ask them, when would you like to get going? They give you a date. You go back to your office or you go back home, and you put together what, a proposal?
Yep. We put together a proposal that we have that's about a 5 to 8 page proposal, and it gives about 1.5 pages of who we are, what we do, and it describes the actual engagement. It describes specifically in very specific detail what we're going to actually do for them, telling them how much time we're going to spend at their location. We're going to talk about specifically how much time we'll give them support and follow up on our recommendation. And then either we hand deliver it or we send it to them electronically in a PDF file format. And then we follow up to get the contract signed. And then many times we'll say, okay, let's go ahead and book your hotels if we're traveling or something like that. We don't book a hotel. We don't book any flights until we receive a deposit.
So with the proposal, you send the contract as well?
That's correct.
Is the proposal pretty standard for just about anyone you're working with?
It is.
Do you have different proposals for the different 8 projects?
We do.
So your coaches have access to those templates?
Yeah, when they come through our coaching school, we have copies of proposals, copies of client recommendations. We have individual brochures for every service that we offer. We have copies of emails that you send to the client when we're trying to collect information. We have copies of contracts, copies of invoices. So when you come through my program, it's a totally self-contained program where all the business tools are ready to go, from websites to suggestions to client questionnaires.
So as a coach for you, I have a whole online access to your site and all this stuff is available online for me?
Well, some of it's online and some of it's in book CDs, audios that you receive at the actual course. We have it in 2 formats. We have a sort of a hard copy version of it that you get through training that we use in the training classes when we certify you as a Value Forward coach. Then we have an electronic resource center where we have things as well.
Do you require that I set up some kind of office, or can I work this out of my home?
About 80% of our coaches work out of their house. Yeah, because, you know, you're going to the client site. They're not coming to see you. And so if you're going to coach them long distance, they don't really care. And if you're coaching them on premises, you're still going to go sit down with the CEO in the conference room and chat with them. And if it's a small company, it could be 10 people. And, you know, in a small company, a million-dollar company, you know, you might have just 10 people. And it could be the CEO, his wife, and that's it. And you're coaching them one-on-one, or it could be a boardroom of a 1,000-person company, and you've got the whole management.
Tell me some more stories about your coaches, some success stories.
From a financial point?
Yeah, a coach that came on with you maybe in the last couple of years, and just maybe something he's done that's exciting.
Well, I'll give you an example of some of the tools that we have. We have direct sales letters, which were professionally written by copywriters. We sent a series of 5 to 7 letters to the same prospect over 5 to 7 weeks. We followed with a telephone call. I had a coach in the last month or so send out just one of our letters. It was picked up by a Fortune 100 who called him on the phone and said to him, listen, how are you connected to the Value Forward Method? And he said, oh, I'm a certified coach. They said, hey, we're having a national kickoff for one of our divisions, and actually a very small division of a very large company, about a $900 million division of a $9 billion company, $10 billion company. They said, we're going to be in Orlando. We'd like you to come in the morning and do an introduction to the Value Forward Strategy and Marketing Method. And in the afternoon, we'd like you to come in and do an introduction to the Value Forward Sales Method. And in the morning, we're about 20 marketing and strategy people. In the afternoon, about 90 salespeople. So the coach called me on the phone. We put together a proposal. He said, Paul, what should I charge? He said, I charge $7,500 plus expenses for the day. So he did. He sent them the proposal. They accepted it and then prepaid it up front. He went off, did the presentation, and now he's negotiating for a contract annually for rollout of the entire team. Now, that proves a whole bunch of things about our model. One, the Value Forward name is out there because they picked up on it from the branding. 2, the direct sales letter works because they responded to the direct sales letter. And 3, a CEO coach going through our program, who, by the way, was an actual sales guy beforehand, was coaching VPs of sales and VPs of marketing and strategy in this $900 million company. And before he'd done this, he'd been a sales guy, learned our method to the point that he could go in as an authoritative person into a global 1,000 company, if I said the name, you all know it, and teach them our methods to the point that they've asked for him for an annual contract.
All right, so tell me the benefit. The Value Forward name is out there. Tell me about that newsletter.
It's called BDM, like Business Development Manager News, bdmnews.com. You know, we've been reviewed by over 200 publications during the last 4 years. I've been interviewed by CFO Magazine, CIO Magazine, Fox News, New York Times, Investors Daily, Sales and Marketing Magazine, Marketing Magazine, the Chicago Tribune, the Boston Globe. I've been in Executive Traveler Magazine. They've called us, asking us, you know, our thought leadership, but how do you grow your company? What's the best strategy method? What's the best marketing method? So we have some branding out there based on this. And since my newsletter is worldwide, about 30% of my transactional revenue, which is books, CDs, audios, come from outside North America. I hold public teleseminars once or twice a month, and I pull people from China, Australia, Korea, Guam, Russia, India, who get up at 2 o'clock in the morning, pay us money, and listen to our educational teleseminars. And then when I do public seminars, I just held one here. We have a 3-day seminar on how to grow your business. We take you through 7 steps that we go to a company, and like for 3 days we do a workshop with the CEO and the management team of how to statistically grow their business based on best practices. It's a very structured program that we teach them. It's 3 days. All my coaches have this as part of their arsenal to sell. And I held a public event about 30, 45 days ago here in Atlanta, Georgia. I had a person fly in from North Africa and another person fly in from Albania just to go to the 3-day event and then leave and fly back.
And your coaches, where do you have them? All over the world?
They're all over the world.
Let's finish. All right, so you send the proposal, whether it's by email or you'll FedEx it or you'll have it couriered or you'll drop it off. You wait for the signed contract and you need half your money up front. You make sure the check clears and then you're ready to go.
That's correct.
For more exclusive interviews on business, marketing, advertising, and copywriting, go to Michael Senoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. What advice do you have for my HMA consultants? They're dealing with smaller mom-and-pop businesses. They're not talking to CEOs. They're dealing with, a smaller level. What advice do you have for them?
I think there really isn't any different advice. You have to have confidence in what you do. You have to charge your value. And when a person says they don't have the money, sometimes they may not, so make sure you have multiple options and alternative packages for them, which requires less activity and labor management on your part. Don't discount add value.
Do you do contingency deals based on gross sales?
Never.
Why?
The waste of time. You're dealing with people who don't have money and people, you know, you don't control them. And I know there are coaching programs out there to do it. When I first started this, I looked at that as a model. I'd rather get paid a lot of money up front and do what I want with my money versus taking a percentage of their gross gain. Now, I have worked in some engagements where I've taken that as an additional fee outside of my normal fees. But most people want you to discount your fees based on what you think you can help me grow my company. I'll tell you what, I'll give you 5% of the gross increase over the next 12 months. But you're discounting your fees. I wouldn't do that because at the end of the day, they're not you. And I can't make them or their marketing or sales or strategy or their life and accounting do what I want them to do. You know, one of the limitations of coaching is we can only advise. We can't do it for them. And so you're going to risk your fee basis based on their inability to be successful. And one of the problems you have to think about is one of the reasons they have not been as successful as they need to be, it might be them themselves. Their limitation may be them. So instead of giving 50% up of your fee basis, taking it on the back, and you're risking giving great advice, working really hard, doing your job, and then failing. So I decided I didn't want to do that. So on some occasions, I have taken a success fee on top of my normal fees, but I will not discount my fee and take a success fee.
Well, you know, with our HMA system, one of the value propositions is the business owner's too busy, and we're going to come in and do a lot of this stuff for them. Of course, they're going to have to work with us. But with your coaching, it's more scalable because you're more coaching rather than hands-on doing it for them. It allows you guys to work with more clients.
And all due respect, you have a commodity approach to coaching. That's not the way to do it.
Because we're trading time for dollars.
I'm trading knowledge for dollars. Because, you know what, I can give you advice on how to fix most companies in about a half an hour.
So how do you set the expectation? They're paying you a lot of money. Aren't some of these CEOs expecting you to come in and do everything for them?
No, we tell them up front we don't do it. We say, listen, we're going to help you increase your success in your marketing or your strategy, so we're going to work with you and give you best practices, and then you tell us who in your company you want us to work with, or if you have a marketing agency or a strategy agency or accounting department manager, we'd like to know who to work with, but we're going to teach you best practices so even when we leave, you can perpetuate that success without us.
What happens when you're dealing with someone, they paid you the money and they're just not getting with the program?
There certainly are times that we would try to sit down with them and say, listen, you're wasting your investment. And in fact, I have a client right now. One of the things you always deal with is king of the kingdom, right, where they think they know everything. They're the king of their operations. Actually, it's a company that has investment from investors overseas. You know, they're losing money, but the CEO thinks he knows everything. Well, the fact of the matter is that they need to listen, and we tell them, and we're very direct. Remember, transactional selling, you have to be professionally blunt. You have to be that surgeon in the corner that says, Paul, do you want your eye back in your head? Let me tell you what you have to do. And sometimes it's going to hurt. That's why, you know, if you do an analysis of, for instance, the healthcare industry or specifically physical fitness locations, studies have shown that people sign up for 1 year of health club memberships always lose a lot more weight than people sign up month to month. So they made the investment. They say, I might as well go work out. I paid a year in advance to go work out at the health club. But if you have a month-to-month contract, you just cancel and you don't work out and you don't lose any weight. We force them to see the pain. We sit there and say, John, your business isn't doing any good. you know, they might say, well, I don't know if I need a coach, and then you just start hitting them with the numbers. It's always about metrics and numbers.
All right, I like what you said. You've sold me on your expertise for sure. I'm interested in becoming one of your coaches. I'm college educated. I'm qualified based on some of the criteria you're talking about. What's the big promise for me to come on as a coach?
There's really some great advantages. One, you're coming into an eight-year-old operation who has an unbelievably high demographic of coaches. My coaches are all seasoned people who have that 10 years, they have a sales background. You're coming into a proven method that's laid out step by step, structure by structure, has proprietary steps and action steps and databases that you have access to, has a brand that is well known. We actually help you with your clients and even capture your clients. We actually host once a month a free educational teleseminar that you invite your prospects to. We corporately put on the actual presentation. You send out our workbook, which now has your name on it, and you hand it out to your clients. We don't even know who was online. And then you follow up and convert those prospects into customers. We actually talk to your clients before you sell them. And we'll talk to them in tandem on the phone, introducing ourselves as the CEO of the Value Forward Group. And we're working with John over here in Texas or Judy in Boston. We help them see the value that you're tied to us directly. So we work with you in tandem. But this is a license. So you keep all the money. You pay us a flat fee per year. It's a five-year opportunity. At the end of 5 years, you can renew or cancel if you'd like to. It's not designed for everybody, but if you're looking to work on yourself and be paid like a CEO of a large company, this is what you need to be doing.
What's it going to cost me?
$19,500 a year. It's a five-year agreement, and there are no additional charges. Unlimited support one-on-one, unlimited training. We have a training session every 6 or 7 weeks or 4 days, hands-on, detailed. I actually lead all the training and work with the coaches individually. We have a support team, but I actually work with them during the training and sessions as well. And it's designed for somebody who wants to go to the next step. And we bring in people. I mean, I have ex-CEOs of companies in my company. This is interesting. I have five former CEOs who are CEO coaches, including CEOs of companies that were $500 million to $1 billion in annual revenues, including a CEO of a public $1 billion, $100 million company who went through my CEO coaching school about 6 weeks ago, and he took it right along next to the sales guys. And that tells you that this content that we have is pretty unusual. You know he didn't come to make $100,000. And if you're looking to make $100,000 with us, didn't you come into the wrong company? The fact of the matter is my most successful person, though, is not a CEO. They're salespeople.
So it's 20 grand a year for 5 years.
That's correct. And after 5 years, you can renew or cancel at your discretion, and if you renew it for the same investment level. The other thing that we do is we guarantee the contractual territory that you're in. You know, some of the programs you have just free-for-all, and if you go to a franchise, franchises are putting 300, 400, 500 coaches or some type of management advisors into the United States alone. We're only putting 100 coaches in the United States and only 150 worldwide. We actually guarantee by contract how many people we're putting into your geography. You'll know it before you even sign the agreement, but you have the ability to sell anywhere. And we have certain areas that are already closed out, to be quite honest with you. So, for instance, in a state, you know, you might have only 2, 3, or 4 people in one state in totality. So you're not going to be backing into somebody doing the same thing. But over and above that, you can sell anywhere. We just limit how many people we put into your backyard based on contracts.
So let's say I'm in San Diego and there's a license available for San Diego. And you're doing promoting online. You get the world's largest, you know, that newsletter. And let's say a lead is generated out of San Diego.
Then I'm going to refer them to the San Diego license.
Wow, that's powerful. Are you providing a lot of leads for your coaches?
To be honest with you, we're a full-time CEO coaching company. So one of the things is we ourselves are in transition into a full-time thought leadership. We're actually backing away from our own client consulting over the last year and a half and moving into thought leadership. So we pass some of the leads on now, and within about 12 months, we'll hit about 70 or 80 coaches. At that point, we'll push all the leads to the actual coaches individually.
I got to ask you, how the hell did you come up with all this stuff? I mean, where did all this content come from?
For me only. I mean, I have a very unusual background. I've been a VP of sales, a VP of marketing, a VP of strategy, and a VP of operations, both public and private companies, from anywhere from $20 million to $1 billion. I started two other companies. And so when I was a VP of ops, which is running engineering departments, you know, that's so different than being a VP of strategy. And I'd sit in the boardroom of a guy with VP of strategy, and he didn't know anything about strategy, and I did. So when I was a VP of strategy, and I sat across the desk from a VP of engineering, I knew his job. And I found that everybody would talk about working together. It was a bunch of baloney. It was all corporate garbly-goo. At the end of the day, what would happen was is that they'd all sit in the manager meeting and then break up and go do what they wanted to do. Yet the CEO would be yelling at the sales team because they weren't hitting their numbers, and I found that they really had a disassociated relationship with the other departments. So we believe that the Value Forward Group, that revenue capture for a company, is a company responsibility, not just the sales teams. So I started putting together models of taking all these departments and aligning them together. And so I took all my experiences. Now, here's what's interesting about our company. It's actually kind of hard to duplicate of all the things we were talking about. We use four separate data inputs to confirm what is best practices. One, my newsletter is so large that when I send out a newsletter article, I get between 100 and 1,000 inbound suggestions on a weekly basis commenting on the content of that newsletter. And so if I said 9 ways to buy companies or 7 ways to expand advertising, I'm going to get 15 suggestions from my audience. Now, that newsletter is 8 years old, so I've been collecting data for 8 years. And since I'm a business-to-business newsletter, many of these people include their business title and their company, so I even know which companies they're coming from that they recommend that this is what we do that works, Paul. You forgot to put this in. So that's one data source. The second data source of best practices is we have a financial database that we have that consolidates information from over 50,000 CPAs based on the financials of their clients. So in real time, we can financially analyze any company as compared to their competitors using no company names, just the financial information, and it kicks out automatic reports for us to get a benchmark, because most companies have no clue what the competitors are doing. They just guess. The third is we've coached over 500 CEOs in over 20 industries during the last 8 years. So that itself becomes a database of knowledge and research. And then the fourth area is we look at third-party research independently from companies like Gartner and Forrester and Boston Consulting. So when we have a hypothesis of what we think a best practices is, we go out and look for confirmation research to confirm it. This is really what is going on in the marketplace, and this is what other research says. So we take those four areas, we throw in my background, and really you get 5 areas that we sort of confirm before you say this is a best practice to make your company successful. Most people, what they do is they make it up in the back room as a coach or a consultant, or they limit it to their own personal experiences, and that's a very silo approach to understanding what really works horizontally. So we take a much larger database of cross-section of knowledge. So if you're going to duplicate what we do today, you'd need to first go out and spend $300,000 building your newsletter, because that's what I spent over the last 7 years, to get it up to 165,000 subscribers who are going to send you comments on your content every day for the next, 8 years. So it's pretty hard to duplicate our research. So when we go into a client, it's pretty hard for them to dismiss or disagree with the appropriate recommendations based on our best practices.
Let's say I sign up, I put my first $20,000 down for the first year, and I get into it, and I realize it's not for me.
Well, at that point, you've committed, so we do not have any back-out clauses for 5 years. That is a serious commitment. I mean, you can go buy a franchise, spend $80,000, they're going to make you sign a 20-year contract, and they're going to take 8 to 10% of your royalties. Or you can come to somebody like us, which is only a 5-year agreement, it's $20,000 per year, and most of the CEO coaches pay for their first engagement, pays off the entire year. So, I mean, it is a 5-year commitment. We don't let anybody back out after a year or two. This is something you have to commit to. Now, you could sell, I guess, your coaching program. They may not do that yet. But, I mean, the fact of the matter is this is a 5-year commitment. We're going to check you out. We're going to ask you for a resume. We're going to let you do due diligence on us. And we certainly want to do due diligence on you. And we want to make sure it's the right fit. And we reject people because, they're not the right fit. They have poor communication skills. There are a lot of nice people out there. But if you were a fireman or you were a policeman or you were a farmer, those are all honorable jobs. But you're not qualified to do what we do.
You're not going to take me on just to sell.
No. In fact, we reject most people because most people think they can do it. But like I said, I'm looking for a college degree. I'm looking for somebody that's 10 years of business experience in marketing or sales or as a corporate manager or somebody who's owned a couple businesses. Those type of people have confidence and have credibility sitting in front of another executive. What's interesting is we find VPs of sales to be the most successful for us because you know why? They sell management. They have confidence. They know how to go out and present. Which is kind of interesting, since I have ex-CEOs of $500 million companies doing this, my former VPs of sales are always the most successful people.
What are your goals 5-10 years down?
Well, we actually have a 5-year plan. By the way, one of our 8 engagements is we do strategic planning. We have a 2-day strategic planning course where we go into a client and walk them through a very unique approach to strategic planning. But our program is pretty much on pro forma where we're going. Within about 3 years, we'll have at least 100 coaches worldwide, probably in 20 countries, and we will be the world's largest CEO coaching in the mid-marketplace, and we will be what we call a market maker, because my average coach is going to handle anywhere between 25 and 40 companies a year. year in small, short engagements and then back into 10 or 15 retainer relationships on a yearly basis. And so that means in any given year, if you get 100 coaches handling, say, 30 companies or 30 CEOs, that we're actually influencing 3,000 CEOs for the collective group. So one of the first things we're doing next year is we're releasing a Value Forward book where the actual network, the Value Forward Network Coaching Network, will actually be writing their own books and publishing them through a publisher, books based on best practices that my coaches bring to the table. That's part of our approach. I've set up the Value Forward Group as a for-profit association. And what I mean by that is it's definitely a for-profit business for me. And I have other businesses I own, but this is a for-profit business. But we act like an association. When we're always bringing new content, new methodology to the association. The coaches themselves are partnering with each other on national and international deals. And we see ourselves as, you know, a thought leadership. We issue our own research so people see the best practices that are out there. So we positioned ourselves really as senior peer-to-peer CEO coaches. Now, an interesting side note of what's happening in the last 30 days, because I've had CEOs from $1 billion, $500 million, $300 million, and $200 million company come into my program to become Value Forward CEO coaches, we see ourselves also potentially being pulled into CEO coaching at the $1 billion level over the next 3 to 4 years. Not necessarily by me, but by the CEOs who are $500 million or $1 billion CEOs.
But you'll develop the skills to coach $1 billion CEOs, or it's already developed.
It's already developed, and I'll tell you why I know this. And I would not believe it unless it was said to me. But the former CEO who went through our program during the last 30 days, we're sitting in the school on the last day. Our classes are small, by the way. We don't have 50 people. We say we bring 2 or 4 people a month in on different timelines. And so we're really coaching and teaching people 1 to 2 or 3 at a time. And so this former CEO of $1 billion, $100 million company on Friday at the last day of the school, a couple other coaches are sitting in the room, and I said, so tell me, what did you think of our material? You're a CEO from $1 billion company, a public company, everybody knows the company. I said, so what did you think of the content? And I said this to him, and honestly, I said, I'm not qualified to coach a CEO of $1 billion company. He said, Paul, but you are. I said, I wish I had you when I was a CEO of the company. I would have brought you and the board in your methods immediately. It would have been perfect for us. I said, wow, that's pretty amazing. And then he said, you got to raise your pricing because I don't think you charge enough. And I said, yeah, let's start with you. He said, no, the next person. But the fact of the matter is you have to look at the concept of coaching. There are some restrictions in all coaching. I will never be able to coach a CEO of $1 billion company because when you get into that size company, I do coach VPs and general managers of their divisions. But when you get to $1 billion company, there's politics involved. Usually it's a public company. And so if they're making a very large strategic decision and they're going to go to the board of directors, they want to name the coaching company or the big consulting company that made that recommendation so that when they go to the board, if the recommendation doesn't work, they have somebody to blame. So if they want a big company like McKinsey or Bain or Arthur Anderson, which now is Accenture, some company like that to come in and say, well, Accenture was in here. They had a strategic engagement with us. They made these appropriate recommendations. They charged us $4 million, and here's what we're going to do. They can at least blame them. But if they said the Value Forward Group, which is more of a boutique consulting engagement company, it might not hold water with the board of directors. Now, what's interesting is those consulting companies make mistakes. And in fact, here's what I say to all my coaches. Every global 1,000 company that you can name that has made stupid, dumb mistakes has a big 5 consulting company who charged $5 million behind it because they don't make those decisions unless they get a second opinion to protect themselves. Now, you may not know the company that did it, but every bad business decision out there today that has been made by a large company has a $5 million consulting engagement behind it that recommended that they should do it.
Interesting. But as far as your strategic planning and growing in the books, and you're going to have more promotion, and your newsletter is going to get larger, and your brand is going to get larger, and if I'm one of your coaches here in San Diego, you could potentially be handing me great clients.
I could, and further than that, all my coaches sometimes bring their own experiences to the table. That's one of the nice parts about being a licensed. We're proprietary and protective, you know, of our own intellectual property, our content. But if you have your own resources, your own concepts, one of the values that we bring to a coach in our program is we will help you coach you in other parts of your business. You know, I get paid $10,000 to coach CEOs. So when you come into my coaching program as a licensee of my program, you get me and my company in perpetuity as long as you're part of the program, and we will help you coach other parts of your business. So, for instance, we don't do customer service per se or, you know, leadership courses, but if you came up with something great in that area, we'd show you how to package it, price it, market it, strategize it, and you could sell that as part of your company alongside the Value Forward Group. But you're right, as we continue to grow and add coaches, it's sort of like a self-fulfilling prophecy where we bring a lot of leads to the table and we generate national and international deals. In fact, we have one company coach right now in London who's talking about having a client roll out an entire coaching program in the United States. So that does not go through me. That goes through all the other coaches. We have an opportunity where we have contracts where they can partner with each other. So that person in London could sign a multi-million dollar deal, take 20% off the top, never come to the United States and have it implemented and rolled out nationally for the rest of the coaches. So there is revenue sharing opportunities amongst the coaches as well.
Very good. Okay, so I'm at the point where I either want to do this, and what do I do next to see if I'm qualified?
Yeah, the next step is you go to valueforward.com. There's a location on there that says licensee information. Sign up. We'll call you on the phone. We'll have an interview. You're going to ask for information about us, and we're going to ask information about you. And simultaneously, over about a 30-day period, we'll do some due diligence amongst ourselves, and you'll do due diligence about us. We'll ask for your resume, and then at some point, we'll come to the conclusion that this is a good fit. We certainly get you copies of our contract. We'll let you talk to other coaches, and we make a judgment call if this is the right fit. Once you sign the contract, send us your money. At that point, we're going to get you into our school. We're going to help you make up a company name. We're going to help you set up your website, get your newsletter going. We're going to help you strategize particularly what markets you want to go after, if you want to verticalize, and then we're going to start coaching you in tandem with your clients.
Paul, it's been incredible. I really appreciate you spending time with us and our HMA consultants.
Great. I appreciate that.
I hope you've enjoyed this interview, and it's not my intention to sell you on Paul's system. If you are, however, intrigued, I'd be more than willing to give you a warm introduction to Paul. All you need to do is email me at michael@michaelsenoff.com. Thanks for listening. For more exclusive interviews on business, marketing, advertising, and copywriting, go to Michael Senoff's hardtofindseminars.com.